Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We've got a very special guest for you today. We are going to be speaking with Elise Goldberg, who is the Historic Site Manager for Washington's Headquarters State Historic Site. And as you know, February, we've got some important presidents, and we've been involved with the number one guy, Washington. So, Elise, are you there?
Good morning, Marietta.
How are you?
Good. Glad to be here.
Oh, yes. Well, I tell you, you've got a real gem of a site, and Newburgh is so blessed to have Washington's headquarters in it. I wondered if you could just give us a little overview, first of all, of, you know, Washington had a bunch of headquarters, right?
And yes, he had just under 170 during the war, and he stayed at Hasbrook House the longest in Newburgh. So where he was here from 1782, April of 1782, until August of 1783.
Wow. And that Newburgh is a very important site, right, based on the way things used to flow, the food and things for the army, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, this whole area was really important to the war because the Hudson is such an important thoroughfare. Mm-hmm. And it also would separate the New England states from the rest of the colonies.
Yeah.
So it was really important to maintain that securely. Most of the war, New York was held by the British.
Oh.
So that's why West Point was so important.
Wow.
As a defensive measure on the Hudson. But Washington's headquarters, when Washington was here at that time, it was actually after the siege at Yorktown. Most people think that was the end of the war.
Oh.
But it really wasn't. Now we think of it that way. It was the last major battle. But at the time, they were hoping it might be towards the end, but they couldn't be sure. So the Continental Army had to keep up their defenses.
Okay.
And Washington moved back to the Hasbrook House and into this Hudson area. There were over 7,000 troops in the New Windsor cantonment at
wow.
the time.
Wow.
He was here. Some of his officers were in the area in different houses. Fishkill had a wonderful depot. The Wappingers Creek was where a lot of boats were built and repaired. I mean, this area is so rich with the Revolutionary history, and it was such an important area during the war.
This was the area where Washington turned down the crown, right? This was right.
Right. He did a number of things while he was here. It was suggested that that maybe he would be interested in being the monarch,
mm-hmm.
and he rejected that idea and said, you know, that's not what we had been fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
He also created, I think most importantly while he was here, the Badge of Military Merit. And people may not have heard of the Badge of Military Merit, but it was the first award for enlisted men,
mm-hmm.
not generals. I mean, not officers, but it was for enlisted men. And it later got resurrected as the Purple Heart.
So that Purple Heart emblem that we see really traces back to
to the Hasbrook House.
Does he have something there when you go on the tour? You could see it?
We have a reproduction one at the house, but the original, one of the three known awarded Badge of Military Merits, one of them is actually at the Purple Heart Hall of Honor in New Windsor.
Okay.
And that was, created from an order that he wrote here at the Hasbrook House in August of 82. So it was, it was very important. So we feel like we're the birthplace of the Purple Heart.
Yeah. Now, he was the longest of all these 170 places he was. Newburgh, he was the longest in Newburgh, I think,
yes.
Right?
And he was here for 16 and a half months.
Okay.
Martha was with him for 12 of those months.
Oh, wow.
So we also talk about Martha's importance during the war when we interpret our history here.
So it must have been a little safer then for her to be there.
Yeah, it was a little bit more of a contemplative time.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't that many large battles. There were, it was only small skirmishes at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So Washington gave him a lot of time also to think and do these sort of things.
Yeah.
He also wrote what's known as the Circular Letter to the States, where he was able to outline his vision for the new republic. It went to all the different governors, the 13 state governors, and people say that that's considered the cornerstone of the Constitution.
Isn't it?
Some of those ideas. So the other thing that he did while he was here was, or while he was here that happened, was the whole Newburgh addresses, Newburgh conspiracy. People may have heard about that. The officers were a little disgruntled because they felt that the Congress, who didn't have any money at that time, would never pay them. They felt that the war was coming to an end, and they figured they would be forgotten and never get paid for the service that they did.
These are the 7,000 over in New Windsor?
Well, the officers.
Oh, the officers.
The
okay.
officers.
Okay, got it.
So they basically, you know, were disgruntled. They had some correspondence and contact back and forth with Congress. They weren't happy. It was almost going to be a coup. They wanted to. They said, "Well, we can keep military control of the country and the Congress."
Wow.
And Washington wrote an address that he presented at a meeting of the officers that they didn't expect him to come to. And he came and he spoke and people weren't that impressed. And then he pulled out a letter from somebody from Congress, and he couldn't read it very well, the small print.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulled out his spectacles. And at that time, nobody knew that he had glasses.
Mm-hmm.
They looked upon it at the time as a handicap, as a weakness.
Oh.
And he put them on and he apologized. He said, you know, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it was basically, I apologize not only have I grown gray, but I've grown blind in the service of my country.
Oh.
And supposedly it wasn't a dry eye in the house, and they remembered how his humble servitude was what they were all fighting for. So
that snapped him out of it.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Wow.
Yeah.
And that's true leadership when you've got somebody setting an example like that. It does,
The other thing that happened here, because it really was wonderful, and we talk about all of this when you come see us. the war when they negotiated the treaty, Washington actually wrote the cessation of hostility, the orders, at headquarters here. So this is where, you know, basically the fighting stopped. And he went about at that point to the business of disbanding the army.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that a lot of nations don't disband their armies. They have them as standing armies. We didn't have a standing army.
Yeah.
So he actually went about the business of disbanding the army here. So
that's important. Yeah.
It is important.
Yeah.
And again, just to, before I, you know, the thing that led to is our Tower of Victory, which is a whole nother thing that when you come down to Washington's headquarters, which is located in Newburgh on the corner of Washington and Liberty. Easy to remember.
Yeah. And what you can go through the buildings. Tell us about the buildings.
Right. We have the museum building.
Okay.
We have the actual headquarters that Washington lived in. And we have our largest monument amongst a few is the Tower of Victory.
And what is that?
The Tower of Victory was created after the centennial of the end of the war.
Oh, okay.
So in 1880s, it was decided that there needed to be a monument to the peaceful end of the war.
Oh.
And Robert Todd Lincoln, who at that time was Secretary of War, was put in charge of making this happen. So they created this monument. It is designed by John Hemingway Duncan, who at the time was a prominent artist and architect, best known for Grant's Tomb in New York.
Oh, wow.
And the Memorial Arch in Prospect Park in Brooklyn. So he was prominent designer at the time. He built this monument on the site. He also included in there were a number of sculptures by William Randolph O'Donovan, who was also very popular at the time.
So that's inside the tower?
The sculptures are, one is inside, the one of Washington is inside, and then there are four on the outside the building, the monument. And it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing overlooking the Hudson. It has had some problems over the years. Mm-hmm. There was storm damage in the middle of the 20th century that started a little bit of wear and tear on the tower.
So water damage. Used to be able to go to the top? Is that how?
Yeah, and the roof had to be removed because of the damage. And it's been many, many years, and with some more deterioration from other storms, and most recently Superstorm Sandy, we lost one of the gates on the decorative gates on the side. It blew down. And we're towards the end of a $1.6 million capital campaign to restore the tower, the masonry, and the roof.
Wow.
Which will also reopen the observation deck, the Belvedere on the top.
Oh, how nice. When's that going to be? Do you know?
Hoping to have it completed by the end of 2016.
Wow, fantastic.
But it is a wonderful, wonderful monument. And what always makes me feel great about the monument is reading the dedication that's on it.
Okay.
Don't mind.
Yeah, read it.
It says, "This monument was erected under the authority of the Congress of the United States and of the State of New York in commemoration of the disbandment under proclamation of the Continental Congress on October 18, 1783, of the armies by whose patriotic and military virtue our national independence and sovereignty was established."
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Wow. So it's really one of the only monuments to peace.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be the only one in the country that's to the peaceful end of the war. So we're very proud to have that in Newburgh as well.
So at the end, you'll be able to go up and go on the overlook and see everything. You probably could see West Point from up there.
Yeah. And the other thing that's really important, I think, that we need to mention about Washington's headquarters is the tower would not have been able to be restored without the community coming together to raise that money.
That was done
through the Palisades Parks Conservancy, through the Palisades Interstate Park Commission, along with New York State, and a lot of the community. And the history of this site is in that nature. We became a site.
That's right.
Because the community had a lot of respect for Washington and of what he did here. And when the house was owned by the Hasbrook family. When Washington rented it during the war, then when he left, the Hasbrook family returned and lived in the house.
Mm-hmm.
They lived there until the middle of the 1800s. They went through some financial problems. The house went into basically foreclosure. And it was going to be sold, destroyed, whatever. And the community rallied, said it's too important. Washington, too many things here, and we don't want to lose it. And the state bought it.
And that was the first site, right?
And it was saved as the first historic site in the nation.
Wow.
And that was in 1850. It opened as a historic site. And let's remember, 1850 is way before the Civil War.
Yeah.
It was before the Transcontinental Railroad.
Yep.
I mean, this is very early in our history that this has been a historic site. So we have a history of the community coming together.
That's a beautiful site, too. It's such a peaceful place to go and just sit and very, very nice. You know, I wanted to ask you, well, it must be 20 years ago when I had a print version of Weekend Magazine as well as the radio. And somebody came into my office one day and he had some pictures. And it had a picture, a black and white picture of Charles de Gaulle, who was visiting Washington's headquarters and doing a speech. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that he had was a very, very old faded picture, but it had a huge vegetable garden on the side of the building. Do you have a garden or anything over there too?
We don't at this point. We interpret it from what we know.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that we believe might have been here, but if we can't document it, we don't want to speculate.
Boy, if I could find those pictures, maybe I'll get them over to you. You can add them to your collection.
Depends. You know, we try to interpret it to, right now when you walk into the house, it's taking a step back in time as when Washington was here.
Yeah.
So since that, and when you come to the site, there's actually a wonderful interpretive panel that shows how many different incarnations this site has had in terms of it being a park.
Oh, interesting.
You know, so the paths have all, you know, became a Victorian park at one point. So, you know, we try to interpret it to one time in history.
Very nice.
And some of the postcards and some of the things we see are different. You know, there's the Hudson is also incredibly important to the story, and the views of the Hudson are just spectacular. And from the Belvedere and the Tower, when that's open again, it will just be outstanding.
Oh, yeah. Now, you've got that famous Minuteman statue, too. I think there was only two of them, right?
Yes, and they're both different. There's one that's in Lexington, Lexington, Massachusetts, which is basically the beginning of the war. And this is basically the end of the war.
Wow.
And there's differences. One has a hat and one doesn't. And one is wearing shoes and one is wearing boots.
Isn't that something? Do you remember the sculptor for that? That was a famous sculptor. I mean, it was really...
offhand, I don't.
Yeah, that's... he had a studio up in Massachusetts. I think if you go up into the Berkshires, they do tours. Chesterfield, maybe, or Chester something.
Chester Wood, I know, is the name of the site.
Okay.
Up there, but
French. Was it French? No.
I don't want to misquote it.
Okay. So, but anyway, it's very famous, and people can look at that, and they should recognize that right away.
Right.
The museum has things like the links from the chain that went across the Hudson, all kinds of interesting things.
Right. The museum was built as a museum in 1910 to house so much of the collection that had been donated to the site. We have some things about the defense of the Hudson, which we have part of the boom, which was part of the boom and chain, which went across the Hudson near West Point, because that was a really big defensive point for if the British wanted to come up the Hudson, it would be bad news.
Yeah, yeah.
So they put the chain across, and the boom was there for, I think, 1 or 2 years. And we have two of the 20-foot logs that were part of the boom. They're the only section that's been salvaged.
Yep. So what I'm going to do, I want to talk about your events, so I don't want to keep talking about the property any longer. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell everybody it is well worth the tour of that museum site, and you change exhibits and things. And,
let me just remind people, it's Washington's headquarters, State Historic Site, which is in Newburgh, on the corner of Washington and Liberty Street.
Open which days?
We're open all year. Right now, we're open on Fridays and Saturdays, and then Wednesdays for Saturday by appointment.
Okay.
You can find out more about us on NYS Parks, New York State Parks.com.
Okay.
And you can always call us at 845-562-1195 or find us on Facebook.
Yep. And we want to talk about your Washington's headquarters thing. You have regular events every year, different times of the year.
Right.
But since I only have about 5 or 6 minutes, let's talk about what you're doing for Washington's headquarters for the big birthday celebration.
It is our biggest weekend of the year. We're open on Friday the 13th. Saturday the 13th, Sunday the 14th, and Monday the 15th. And we celebrate General Washington's birthday, starting off with cake. It's open from 12 to 4. Each day we have cake for the general, who is actually here. We have a wonderful Washington reenactor who comes every year. So he is in residence during that weekend. We have different regiments of reenactors. The 5th New York will be here on Saturday. John Lamb's artillery company with his cannon will be here on Sunday, and Monday is the 5th Connecticut. So they'll be doing military drills all day. We have a number of lectures as well, different topical talks, as we say, which are wonderful. I could explain those a little later, go into more detail. We have music in the house. We have crafts for children of all ages. It is just a fiasco.
It's big.
Different things going on. It's really a lot of fun.
And I think we're going to have nice weather, hopefully, this weekend.
Yeah, I was looking, and it's going to be beautiful, not too cold.
Yeah.
But the talks are wonderful. We have talks both from staff who have done research, as well as some authors and speakers coming in. So we have some that talk about the history of the site itself. And we have a couple of authors talking about their books. Dawn Hagest, who is talking about his book, The Revolution's Last Men, which talks about some of the older Revolutionary War soldiers.
Wow, that's going to be a nice. So you're going to have, so the guns will be going off and marching around. And
mm-hmm. And John Koopman, who is our Washington impersonator, reenactor, wrote a book about George Washington at war in 1776.
Wow.
He'll be speaking about that. We have award-winning children's author Celine Castrovilla, mm-hmm. who is going to be talking about her book, Washington and Lafayette. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful for the children. That's on Monday. It's wonderful. If you want to get a full program, we'll be having those online as well. If you go to our website, you can see the programs for the day. It's really going to be, we do this every year. It is fun for everyone. It's a very, it's a very upbeat, you know, music, cake, talks, muskets going on. There's something going on at any moment.
12 to 4. Where's the best place to park?
We have a couple of parking lots. There's sometimes street parking. We have one parking lot that's on Lafayette Street, adjacent to the site, and then we have another auxiliary lot on Lafayette Street, between Lafayette and Edward Street.
Okay.
So if you come to the site, you'll be directed
to
parking. So there's usually not a problem parking here. And it's just, it's a beautiful day. Come bring your lunch and have a picnic, too, outside.
Yeah. Beautiful big lawn
beautiful
over there.
Night.
And you've got the museum will be open, too, and there'll be tours?
The museum, we're not having tours. You can walk through the house at your own pace this time. So you walk through the house. The museum is open. We have over 1,300 objects in the museum itself.
Wow.
In an open storage type of display. So there's something for everyone. It's a very eclectic collection.
Yeah. There's that big picture that's very famous of Washington kind of leaning on that table. What do you, it's in the room when you come in, you go to the right?
It's very iconic. It shows Washington as the president, not as a general. But he really is he's just a wonderful figure in our history. And, you know, when the site opened in 1850, people, you know, he died in 1799.
Okay.
So there were people who had still, he was alive in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly important. They remembered him. He was really such an incredible figure who devoted most of his life to serving this country.
Yep. We're running out of time, so let's give that website again and phone number again, and tell everybody to get over there. Well, I'm going to have to get you back on, and we'll talk about some of the other events during the year.
Great. Yeah, we have great things coming up all spring.
Yeah.
So just keep checking back at our website.
Yep.
It's www.nysparks.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always call us at 845-562-1195 or like us on Facebook. We always send, you know, press releases and announcements of our events and our happenings onto our Facebook page.
Yeah, so. You got that Kites Over the Hudson. I think, if somebody's a follower of what you're doing, they're going to
have a good time.
We have
our Martha Washington Woman of History that we do. We give it our program in March at the General's Lady, which is coming up on March 13th.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot to watch out for. We also have a volunteer fair in April, where a lot of the community's not-for-profits come together, and you can learn about all the positive things going on in Newburgh, and even have a variety of volunteering opportunities for you. So keep an eye out for that. We do a lot at the site.
Gee, you got to get me on the list for that, because we do St. Mary's Outreach. I should go over and have a table with you. That's
okay. Exactly. Okay. And this way, you know, so when people are looking for something wonderful in Newburgh to do, they can come down and help out the community.
Okay.
So.
Well, Elise, thank you so much for coming on, and hope
thank
to see you over there, and have a good event.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is Marietta Allen. I hope you take advantage of the information we gave you today, and have a wonderful trip. Bye-bye.